The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris.
Good Friday morning on this 25th day of January 2011. It's 5 minutes past 9 o'clock. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Jason Miller. Welcome to our panel discussion. How can you be a better bean counter for your agency in the age of austerity? Federal financial managers are coming to terms with financial compliance, limited money for new systems or upgrades, and the continuing need for achieving clean audits, financial transparency, and compliance. And then the big question that we're all waiting to hear about, the government shutdown. So how are those financial managers facing these challenges? Joining us now, Mark Easton, the Deputy Chief Financial Officer with the Defense Department, and Tony Scardino, the Chief Financial Officer for the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Mark, Tony, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jason. Amy?
Thank you very much. It's great to be here, too.
Well, we got to jump right into the big question, as Tony and Mark, we were talking before we jumped into this, is shutdown. Will it happen? Won't it happen? Obviously, that's still a lot to be determined. But how, as Chief Financial Officers in those areas, you have to decide. You're planning now for what may happen. You're planning out what may not happen. So let me jump into with Tony at the Patent and Trademark Office. Give us some sense of what you guys are doing for that just in case.
Well, there's a lot of issues, Jason, actually, to back up for a second. You know, it's not easy for Congress. I mean, everybody wants to blame, you know, hey, we elect these folks. They need to pass a budget, and then we can all go on our way. It's not easy. Look at last week, the president submitted a budget for 2012. It's a $3.7 trillion budget, but revenues are $2.6 trillion. That's a $1.1 trillion deficit. So if you shut down every government program, you still wouldn't be able to make up that difference. So it just kind of gives you some sense of where they are in 2012, and 11 drives that. So what they're trying to do is pull back, spend less money in 11, so then you've got fewer obligations and spending in 12 and future years. So what are we doing right now? Of course, you've got the House majority, the new majority, has proposed a budget for 11 that is $61 billion less than 2010 spending levels. Okay, so how do we get there? Okay, the president has submitted a budget for 11. Obviously, that's much greater than that, $100 billion greater. So when people talk about $61 billion versus $100 billion, they use two different things that they're working against, last year's spending levels versus the 2011 proposed spending levels. But still, how do you get there? $61 billion. The Senate now is taking it up, saying, we're not going to cut that much. That's too austere. We can't cut that much with the amount of time that's left. There's only 7 months left in the fiscal year. How do you find that much money that quickly? So right now you've got what's basically a standoff. Everyone's saying the shutdown is going to be in a week, right? March 4th, This continuing resolution expires. How do we get between now and then? Nobody knows what's going to happen. No one has a crystal ball. But we're preparing from an agency perspective. What would happen if we shut down? Midnight of next Friday, what would we do? Okay, we at the PTO, the Patent and Trademark Office, we receive money from people. We need people there to actually collect that money.
So it does impact you more than we would have realized.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When people say we're not appropriate, give you a little background, we collect fees to process patents and trademarks, register trademarks, and examine patent applications. Uh-huh. Now, what happens there, of course, is people provide money for that service. So people think, well, then why would you shut down? Congress actually appropriates a number, a level that we can spend up to. So if we don't have a valid appropriation, we actually can't spend new money. We can spend money that carried over from prior years into this year. We, unlike most federal agencies, our money doesn't expire at the end of the fiscal year.
So how much money are we talking about carryover? Are we talking about, like, percentage-wise? Are we talking about 10%? Are we talking about 80%?
Not even, probably 5%.
So it's not even like you could keep part of PTO open and close part of it. For instance, the patent examiners or
right, that's really a judgment key call, to be honest. I mean, what do you do? You keep the patent examiners continue to examine, but you shut down your IT? I mean, you need your IT folks. You need all your support folks, you know, the building, security. I mean, you can't
right
just have these people work all by themselves.
Okay, I have a follow-up question for you, but I want to get Mr. Easton to jump in here. Mark Easton is the Deputy Chief Financial Officer with the Department of Defense. Do you concur, and do you have similar challenges?
Probably Tony has a better perspective. I mean, he has the picture of both sides of the house. And I have to tell you, Amy, that in my role at Defense is predominantly focused on execution, so the finance and accounting aspects right now. With respect to the shutdown itself, I guess I will say that the Department of Defense plans about a lot of things. And so we're currently taking a close look at those plans. If you recall, back in 1995, you know, we had a similar government shutdown for a period of time. So that experience is very, very relevant. It boils down to a fiscal law issue. You know, we're in the midst of supporting two wars. And so I think that we will find that those plans will allow us, to some extent, to continue that support. And so we have to make those distinctions to ensure, from an appropriated funds perspective, we're aware of exactly who's involved in supporting with direct support to the troops. So those are the kinds of issues that we're looking at right now. I guess I would have to say first and foremost that we're hopeful that this won't happen.
Yeah, I think everybody agrees with that. It's also very interesting that our two panelists today are both in positions to be able to say it doesn't affect us, but it really does affect us. Because on the surface of it, the more shallow view, people might believe that because you're with the Department of Defense, oh, well, you're protecting the nation's homeland, so you're going to be perfectly fine, and that you are not part of the whole appropriations part of it with the Patent and Trademark Office, so that you wouldn't be impacted. But it does have that ripple effect for both of you.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many questions I get each day about the possible shutdown. We're having a meeting actually at 10 o'clock this morning that I'm going to miss, talking about what are the ramifications of a possible shutdown. What do we need to be prepared? Everyone wants to know who's essential, who's non-essential. Having lived through this in 1995, I'll tell you right now, as an employee who was deemed non-essential, it's not great for morale. Okay? Now, the flip side is
that because of the term non-essential?
Yeah. You feel like, you know, wait a minute, my job's not important? Well, then why does my job exist? Okay? The flip side is if you're deemed essential, that means you come into work, but you know you're going to get paid.
You do know you're going to get paid?
Yes. Well, yes, I think so. Well, I don't know for a fact.
You guys are the CFO experts, so let me throw this at you. My understanding is that there is an emergency appropriations that the president can push through to say essential personnel will get paid. Is
exactly.
that the way it works?
Yeah, that's right. And then my understanding,
and this boils down to a combination where you get the comptrollers and the fiscal lawyers together and you look at your operations. There's distinctions between appropriated funds and then working capital funds or revolving funds that basically operate on a cash basis. The one thing I did want to comment on, and Tony brought it up, is the terminology. You know, I think in previous experiences, terminology such as essential and non-essential, I think, conveyed the wrong connotation, and at least in our current planning and plans, in other words, we're making a distinction between exempt and non-exempt personnel. But rest assured that it would have an impact, and that's why we're hopeful that that while we have plans, we hope that we don't have to execute them.
And just from a DOD perspective, going back to your earlier comment, when you figure out how to support the warfighter, I imagine the argument is going to be made, and very very rightly so, that so many people from the logistics to the soldiers, to the people who support the soldiers in the intelligence world, they are, we will use your term, exempt employees versus non-exempt in terms of essential versus non-essential.
I think a lot of people are calling it that now.
Yeah, I think.
For that very reason.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, is DOD going to even find a bigger, because of the two wars that are going on, number of employees that are going to have to come in and actually, if there is a shutdown work?
I think logically, the last time that we actually did a shutdown, and I was in uniform at the time within DOD, we weren't involved with two wars. And so those kinds of relationships were there. But I would venture to say that a larger portion of our resources would, in fact, be considered exempt. But what we need to do is in the planning process, and as Tony, I'm missing a meeting this morning as well to be able to join you.
Well, thank you.
And it's our pleasure. But at the same time, I mean, I think those kinds of nuances are important because we need to consistently execute them across the department, and the DOD is a huge enterprise.
I wonder also, because these meetings are going on and you're not going to be able to attend them, but are these meetings taking the priority over everything else? You know, originally when we were going to have you on, we were going to be talking about things like federal accounting and how it's different from the private sector, things like that. But this is the story of the week, the hour, the month. This is what everybody wants to know about. And I wonder, is everything else on hold, or is it just business as usual? How does that work? And I want to start with you, Mr. Easton.
I think this is not a crisis. As I said, you know, we have plans in place. This is, you know, given the fact that we have a period of time, and we have a bill that at least has been passed in the House that's moving through from a Department of Defense perspective that we're hopeful will be able to be acted upon. But based on the 4 days, we think it's prudent. But it's certainly not a crisis.
And Mr. Scardino?
I look at it a little differently. I mean, with all due respect, you know, I got called into the director's office yesterday to talk about possible shutdown, not to talk about federal accounting.
Sure.
I mean, that's never going to be something that, you know, is going to raise to the attention of policymakers. A possible shutdown? Absolutely. That's something that's on everybody's mind right now. We're having tons and tons of meetings at the Department of Commerce on what does this mean from a systems perspective, from a customer service perspective, what does it mean from a morale perspective. Everybody's worried.
You're even having meetings about morale.
Absolutely. I'm meeting with each group out of my staff. Actually, I've already had four different meetings with each division to talk about what does this mean for us.
We are talking with Mark Easton. He's the Deputy Chief Financial Officer at the Department of Defense, and Tony Scardino. He is the Chief Financial Officer at the Patent and Trademark Office. It is 9:15. We're going to come back after a short break. I'm Amy Morris, along with Jason Miller, and you are listening to a Federal News Radio discussion here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.